still dealing with Dubai.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It was another rough session today for stock markets around the Persian Gulf. Dubai was down 7%. Abu Dhabi's benchmark lost 3.5%. Investors there seem concerned, remain concerned about Dubai's debt problems, but there's been some positive developments from the state-owned holding company at the center of the crisis. Dubai World is talking with its banks about restructuring $26 billion in debt. Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London with more on this. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So with the latest news, does this mean things aren't as bad as they seemed?
Yes, on the face of it, things look better than they did certainly last week. Dubai World is seeking to restructure less than half its declared debt, as you say, $26 billion, that's rather than $60 billion. Markets have steadied a bit, and the cost of insuring against Dubai, the city-state itself going bust, has fallen. So fears of government default have receded.
But I suspect Dubai's problems are far from over.
You suspect correctly. Certainly, Dubai remains and its companies heavily mired in debt. It's got some big bond and bank loan repayments looming in each of the next 3 years. And some experts believe that Dubai will inevitably have to sell off some of its most prized assets, probably to its wealthy fellow sheikhdom, Abu Dhabi. George Joffe of Cambridge University thinks Abu Dhabi could even end up taking over Dubai's airline, Emirates.
The objective of this would be to combine it with the Gulf airline Etihad, which is owned by Abu Dhabi and which has always seen Emirates Airline as an unreasonable competition.
Now, that, of course, is speculation. But one thing seems certain, Steve. Dubai's ambition to become a major regional financial centre has suffered a massive, perhaps fatal blow.
All right. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard with us from London. Stephen, thanks.
OK, Steve.
All right, global markets seem to have shrugged off concerns about Dubai for now. European shares are higher right now, more than 1.5%. Japan's central bank today said it'll inject more money into the banking system there. That sent the Nikkei up 2.5%. Stock futures here at home are higher. Yesterday, markets kicked the week off with a small gain. The S&P tacked on about 0.33%. The Dow closed up 34 points. President Obama is expected to talk about the future of U.S. involvement in Afghanistan. He'll speak in a primetime address tonight from West Point. Now, the president's expected to send about 30,000 more troops to the country, but there are a lot of questions about how the U.S. is going to pay for it. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
The White House says sending 30,000 additional troops to Afghanistan would cost about $30 billion more a year. To pay for it, some Democrats in Congress have proposed a war surtax. Most people would pay an extra 1% of their annual tax bill. The wealthy would pay more. Dan Plesch directs the Center for International Studies and Diplomacy at London University. He says a tax would raise awareness of the cost of war.
I think you might have a bit more of a real sense of what's going on if more people at the top of the society were involved, and perhaps a higher tax is one way of approaching that.
But with the economy still weak and midterm elections next year, a surtax might be a tough sell. Lawmakers may have to find the money by cutting other spending or by borrowing it. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, which has begun a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And by SaveAndInvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at saveandinvest.org.
Poor Barbie. She's had some fierce competition lately. Bratz dolls, Zuzu, the amazing electronic hamster. Now it seems Barbie's parent company, Mattel, is facing yet another problem on the other side of the world. Marketplace's Shanghai correspondent Scott Tong has that.
The Barbie flagship store sits on Shanghai's main shopping street, the equivalent of Fifth Avenue. But this holiday season, the sales staff outnumber the customers. And there's a lot on sale. This sales lady hawks Barbie brand eyeshadow. Was $17, now $12. T-shirts are more than half off. It's a big come down from the store's ambitious opening in March. Back then, brand designer Richard Dixon promoted the Barbie brand wedding dress for real-life brides, $10,000.
So you, getting married, and oh my God, a Vera wedding dress, how fantastic. If you buy the Barbie Vera Wang wedding dress, you get a collector doll that wears the exact same dress, and we will sculpt that doll in your likeness.
Now, Chinese shoppers seem to have left Barbie at the altar. Parent company Mattel has replaced the store's general manager and revised its sales targets. Shanghai consultant and seasoned shopper Michelle Wei provides a clue to what went wrong.
We never played with Barbie dolls growing up. I don't have this sense of, wow, Barbie's so beautiful. If I shop for a friend's daughter or my niece, I may buy a doll for them. But me, I'm not so interested.
Plus, hot pink isn't too popular here, nor is the midriff revealing Barbie brand clothing. Sean Ryan at China Market Research thinks Mattel just doesn't get young Chinese women.
They're a lot more immature. They like cute, not pure, sexy, halter top, see-through. That's not very popular in this market. The young girlish type of models do a lot better.
Point is, just because something sells in Malibu doesn't mean it'll sell in China. Youth market researcher Mary Bergstrom.
For brands to be successful in China, you need to do a little bit of ego checking at the door. So whatever your brand has accomplished outside of China isn't necessarily what you bring into China.
Bergstrom thinks this struggling store is fixable, so long as Barbie the brand puts on her glasses, does her China homework, and updates her look once again. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong. For Marketplace.
Finally, how's this for dedication in the workplace? A South Florida woman wanted her hurried boss to make his flight to Honduras, so she called in and emailed a bomb threat to Miami International. Police searched the flight, but nothing. Investigators tracked the email and the call to the 31-year-old woman. She not only confessed, she admitted to making the boss late. If she's out of jail, looks like she's bringing in the donuts today. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.